Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell Porter.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic, the radio show where we talk about how authenticity can help you in any and all of your relationships, especially the one with yourself. This is going to be the last show of the year for me this year. I'm going to be taking next week and the following week off for the holidays, and I wish you all and all your family and friends the best of the holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, and all those wonderful things. I hope that you have lots of joy in the holidays and that you be safe and just have a wonderful, wonderful time. I have a very special guest today, which I'm very excited to be have her on the show. Her name is Stephanie Collins, and I wanted to feature her on my show because of her courage. After talking to her, I had realized how courageous a life she has led. And she was even more courageous by putting this all down, honestly, exactly the way that it happened, in a book. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about her. She earned a 4-year degree in psychology, then went on to nursing school and became a registered nurse. She worked for about 10 years as a medical unit RN at Seattle Children's Hospital. But then she found it necessary to sacrifice her career in order to care for her children, two of which her book, With Angels' Wings, tells us about. Stephanie, it's so wonderful to have you on the show today.
Thanks so much, Mary. I really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's just wonderful having you. You know, your book, it's called With Angels' Wings, and it tells the story of your experience with two special needs daughters. Can you tell us a little about that and how you came to write this book?
Mm-hmm. So my husband at the time was a Marine, and he was on a ship off the coast of Saudi Arabia, and I had our 3-year-old daughter with me in our home state of New Hampshire, and I gave birth to my second daughter. But things didn't feel right from the beginning. But the doctors were telling me everything was fine. The nurses were telling me everything was fine. Family was telling me everything was fine. But it was just that niggling sense that something was just definitely wrong. So when she was 13 days old, I took her into the pediatrician, and he put the stethoscope to her heart, and he said, uh-oh, we have a problem here. I'm hearing a significant murmur. And I was struggling just to try to remember what a murmur meant, but that was my initiation into the world of special needs parenting. Mm-hmm. It continued with over an hour of holding her down for IV attempts, for transport to an intensive care nursery. Once we got to the intensive care nursery, she was diagnosed with 7 heart defects. And then the question, of course, became, why does she have 7 heart defects? So they got a geneticist involved and so on and so forth. Ultimately, she was diagnosed with a rare genetic disorder called Wolff-Hirschhorn syndrome. And the whirlwind began there. You know, I left the house telling my 3-year-old, I'll be back in about an hour, and we'll clean up the breakfast dishes, and we'll go out and play. I think we got home 6 weeks later. So, and it took my husband a week to get there, from his ship, and it was all craziness. The medical drama continued with my second daughter. In the meantime, my oldest daughter was You know, she was my first, and so I didn't know what to expect, but she was ultimately diagnosed with high-functioning autism with mild to moderate developmental delay. And so that was another special needs experience, but a very, very different one, because it's more psychological and learning disability type issue as opposed to the medical drama.
You know, one of the things that just struck me as you told the story of your second daughter is you knew deep down inside something was wrong with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like you said, the doctors, the nurses, my family, everybody thought the baby's fine, but you as a mother knew you had that instinct inside of you. And I think it's wonderful that you listened to that and
mm-hmm.
you pursued it and brought the baby to the doctor, because that was so necessary. And listening to yourself, you know, I'm talking about daring to be authentic. That's daring to be authentic. That's daring to follow the voice inside that tells you something has to be done here. So I just wanted to bring that out because I think that's marvelous. So
mm-hmm.
So go on.
So as things were happening, I started writing things down therapeutically, just because each day that I came to, I was like, oh, my God, I can't even believe I'm living this life right now. Oh, my God, I can't even believe this is happening. Like, there was just so many cases of what? In what life does this even happen? That I was writing it all down, and we had nurses and therapists coming into the house for both girls. And as they read what I was reading, I was getting a lot of comments like, wow, Stephanie, you know, I'm working with this other mom right now who I know that she's feeling the way that you're talking about feeling when you wrote this. And I mm-hmm. think that it would be so helpful if she could read this to know that she's not the only one, that there's others out there like her, and that it's okay to feel like, you know, feel the way she's feeling. I really think that it would be helpful. And after enough of those comments, I gathered the courage to put it all out there for everyone to see and for everyone to judge, because I think that it's extremely important to be honest when you're trying to be helpful to someone who mm-hmm. might be going through similar circumstances. You have to be honest about it, or you're not doing them any service at all. But that can be tough, because I made mistakes along the way. I'm certainly not perfect, and even if you were a perfect parent, you would still fall short in exceptional parenting. You know, parenting in general, I don't think that there's any way to be perfect, but when the demands are even that much higher, you constantly fall short, and that's part of the challenge is
yeah.
prioritizing and trying to figure out how you're going to face the challenges every day, because they're always going to be over your head.
Wow. Yeah, there's no such thing as perfect parenting. I've raised three children, and I just by observing, there's no such thing. We just do the best that we can at the time. And when
mm-hmm.
you said that people would judge you, you know, that's part of your courage to put this book out, because you know people will judge you and say, why did she do that, and how could she do this? But the bottom line is you did the best that you possibly could. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, with love in your heart for these children, and that's really all that matters. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about the main purpose of your book. You wanted to tell the story, but what do you think the main purpose was as you brought this out to the world, for the world to see, really?
Well, I had a couple of messages to different populations. For fellow parents of special needs kids, I wanted to say, hey, you're not alone, and you can do this. If I can do this, you can do this. And
mm-hmm.
I also wanted to reach out to professionals, you know, doctors, nurses, therapists, teachers, who are dealing with special needs kids every day, to kind of give them the backdoor view, the view from the family perspective, what's going on from that end, to give them a better overall perspective of everything going on. And to the rest of the world, to the general public, you know, if you're the type that likes to peek in a window and wonder what someone else's life might be like, this is it's a very different lifestyle, and it will definitely give you a view into a very different life.
Mm-hmm. And also an understanding and maybe a compassion for those who have no choice. Like you said, this is my life now. Like when you try
right.
to come to grips with it, that this was your life. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't a nightmare. It wasn't a movie. It was your life now. And all you could do was take step by step every day and live your life. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I think that's pretty amazing. Beautiful. So what role did authenticity play in all of this, Stephanie?
Well, like I said, I don't personally feel that you can be helpful at all if you're not being honest about things. You know, if a soldier is talking to a fellow soldier about going out onto a battlefield, he's not going to do him or her any good if he, you know, romanticizes or glazes over or sweetens anything. And I think that's just unless you're being honest, you're not going to really learn anything about anything. Mm-hmm. And so if my message mm-hmm. to special needs parents is I got through this and you can too, I have to be honest about what it is I actually got through. And if I'm talking to the general public about, you know, here's a snapshot of my life, but I change it at all, then they're not going to understand at all why a special needs parent might crack under the pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I joke about sometimes is the fact that in the special needs world, there's no such thing as why don't you just. And so many times mm-hmm. I think the general, you know, you look at a family with a child acting up in a grocery store or something like that. Well, why doesn't that mother just? Well, why doesn't that dad just? Well, there is no just. Mm-hmm.
Right,
and I think that this helps to demonstrate that.
That's really good. And what about as far as for you? Why was it necessary for you to be authentic with yourself? Just in the way this all happened to you, in the way mm-hmm. it played out.
I think that the book demonstrates that because I fought it. You know, like I said, I made mistakes along the way. And some of those stumbles had to do with, you know, setting aside emotion and putting things off and not thinking about myself and not caring for myself the way I should, and that doesn't do you any good at all. You mm-hmm. have to be honest with yourself about how you're feeling, about how much you can take, about when it's time to ask for help.
Right.
These are things that you have to be honest with yourself in order to have any type of success.
I agree. And asking for support, and sometimes we as women are not very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
We see ourselves as weak. I know that in my past, I see myself as weak if I ask for support. I can do this myself. I can handle this. I'm, you know, independent. I'm a strong woman, et cetera, et cetera. So that take, you know, there's a lot of that play in it too, to be able to ask for the support and to be able to say, I can't do this anymore today. You know, I have to
right.
do something else, and maybe tomorrow I could take it up again and continue on this. Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
really excellent. Very excellent. So I know that you want to impact the parents who have such special needs children by saying, you know, I understand what you're going through or a portion of what you're going through. I know that you want to impact professionals by saying, hey, this is what we really, really go through. And this is how you can help us through this. And, of course, everybody else like me to know what it is you've been through and the girls and the children have been through.
Mm-hmm.
But out of all those together, what do you think your main message is?
If I had it's kind of a three-pronged thing. Mm-hmm. My message to anyone, no matter what, because we all have our challenges. We all have our crosses to bear, so to speak. And
yep.
This just happens to be mine. But no matter what you face, find someone to talk that you can talk honestly to about how you're feeling and surround yourself with supportive friends and family. That was one of the mistakes I made. I was too affected by the naysayers and the negative mm. voices in my life. And you have to mm-hmm. you have to just set that aside and focus on the positive. Number two, like I said, you need to take care of yourself. Whatever it is you're going through, and for me, you know, special needs parenting, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And and you're not going to do anyone any good if you're struggling to keep going. And
right.
number three is when the going is tough, focus on today. Don't dwell on, you know, the rough day you had yesterday, and don't stress
mm-hmm.
over what might be coming tomorrow. just do what you need to do to get through today. And sometimes you have to just do what you need to do to get through the next hour.
Right.
But if
right.
you can just focus on the right now, it really helps in the end.
That's beautiful. Those are such good information and such good encouragement, because, like you say, we can use this in all areas of our life, whatever each of us might be dealing with. And those are really wonderful, wise words. We're going to take a quick break for some of our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Would you like to turn your money anxiety into money attraction? If you're really sick of struggling with money, I have an exciting proposition for you. I have a money product I'm about to release, and I need your feedback to make sure it's exactly what everyone will want. Go to the blog tab at stressrelieversnow.com to learn more.
Feeling stuck in a loveless relationship? Afraid to let your authentic self shine? Don't know how to share your feelings? Get solutions to challenges long-term couples face from Lorna McCarty, a professional coach who cares, at www.phoenixrisingrelationships.com. Take action, stay positive, live in the now. Get results today. Reignite the passion with a free Rekindle the Passion discovery session. Go to www.phoenixrisingrelationships.com.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio with special guest Stephanie Collins. She's the author of With Angel's Wings, a book that she wrote about two of her special needs daughter. Stephanie, let's talk a little bit about the book itself. We really haven't done that yet. Tell us, I know that you focused on two of your children. Tell us a little bit about some of the parts in the book and how the book has been received and things like that.
Mm-hmm. I was concerned about criticism with my story, but I've been extremely touched and pleased with the way people have responded. People have been very generally very very supportive of what I've written, and I'm so thankful for that. Let's see. Like I said, it's my initiation into this world, and surprise initiation. You know, sometimes people have prior warning, I guess, that mm-hmm. you know, with genetic or with prenatal testing, that that there are issues that are going to have to be addressed. But everything kind of came as a surprise to me, so. So the reader really gets to just take the journey along with me, and in all its glory. And so, like I said, it covers the diagnosis of the heart defects and the genetic diagnosis of my second daughter, Sarah. I changed mm-hmm. all the names in the story out of respect to other quote-unquote characters that I knew would not want their names published in my story. So I changed all the names for that reason. But the story itself mm-hmm. is completely true.
Okay.
And then I just went on to, you know, all the trials and tribulations. There was a seizure disorder, all the medications, all the struggles with schooling, and just all the things that go on along with it.
Wow. So it's quite comprehensive, and it just takes you through the moment where you discovered this.
And it does include, I have to say, it does include, I think, a wonderful love story. that does play an integral part in the story, but again, it's all true. And my husband and I found each other through these turbulent times, and the book, the title With Angel's Wings, it's a quote from the book about a stuffed angel cow. That makes much more sense when you read the story. But it's also a wink and a nod to the person I dedicated the book to, my husband, because he is truly my angel. You know, if anyone wonders, wow, how did you do this? Well, you know, he has a name. that's how I did it, because he just came in and just when I needed him. And if I didn't believe in angels before, I definitely do now.
Wow. Well, how beautiful. And I'm almost speechless. That is so beautiful that it's a love story, because so often you hear of parents who have difficulties with children, the child gets ill, that it pulls the parents apart. You know, it tears them apart, it destroys the marriage. But yours is just the opposite story. You came together stronger and with more love. I just love that. That's beautiful.
Well, actually, no, it's both. It took my marriage to the girl's father all of, 3 months to dissolve under the stress. Now, that was not a particularly strong marriage to begin with. But when Matt, and in the book his name is Daniel, when Matt and I got together, you know, on paper, we never should have made it. But when people say, how do you make it work? I really don't even know how to answer that. I know how not to make it work because, you know, of what happened with my ex and I. But with Matt and I, we faced every adversity you can possibly think of. We were dirt poor. He was in college, and then I was in college too. And, you know, we had the medical struggles of the girls and medical struggles of our own. And we were young, and, you know, it was just the whole laundry list of all the things that should pull you apart. And we, you know, we kept it together. And during the wedding ceremony, I actually couldn't help myself from snickering because, you know, they would say in sickness and in health. And I said, in health? And, you know, for richer or poor. And I'm like, richer? Are there even such things? You know, so so somehow if you find the right person, it just all falls into place no matter what.
That's so true. And you had already experienced, most people going to the altar haven't experienced the sickness and the poor, and they're just looking forward to a life of all wonderful things. You had actually gone to the altar experiencing the negative parts of those vows.
Exactly.
And, and looking forward to the positive ones coming around, perhaps. Very, very lovely. I love that. So tell us how to get a hold of your book, and or if you have a website, anywhere that the listener can get a hold of you and your book.
Yes. Any Google search will pull up a lot of these. But, With Angel's Wings is available on Amazon. But there's a direct link to Amazon on the book's website. That's where I like to direct people most. It's www.withangelswings.net. And not only are there direct links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but there's deleted scenes, there's an epilogue, there's chapter pictures, pictures that correlate with all the chapters, which I really recommend people see because, you know, pictures speak a thousand words, and it makes the story so much more clear. And there's some comic relief. There's a whole bunch of things right there on the website that that can really complete the whole story.
Beautiful. I mean, I absolutely love the cover. I've seen some of the pictures. I love the title of the book. And it's what drew me to even find you with the title of your book on your profile. So I thought that was so beautiful. So one thing we haven't talked about, and it's kind of an unexpected question probably, but I like to ask this of authors because I'm a writer as well, is we've talked about why you wrote your book, how it's been accepted by other people, what your purpose for the writing was, but we haven't talked about how writing the book affected you. What did you receive from the writing of your book? Because I know as authors, there's always something that we receive and we glean from our books.
For me, like I said, I started off therapeutically because I would write down, this is what happened. And a lot of times I was very hard on myself thinking, oh, you know, I messed that up and I could have done so much better. And so I'd write, this is what happened. And then I'd sprinkle in, but this was going on at the same time. And also this was going on. And by the end of it, I'd go, Well, no wonder I was out of my mind, because all this stuff was going on at the time. And that's what was therapeutic, was just kind of giving myself a little bit of a break. But even that wasn't enough. What was amazing was when my publisher, editor, Donna Erickson, suggested that I, change the names and make it third person, that when my character, Stephanie, became Laura, I was much more forgiving and sympathetic to Laura, which is a weird
right.
a weird thing. I felt much more for Laura. I don't know why that happened, but it did, and it was just kind of a weird thing about the writing process.
Wow. Well, the reason for that is that we always way harsher on ourselves than
mm-hmm.
anybody else. Always. In fact, I always tell my clients, when they're beating themselves up, I'm saying, if this was your best friend you were talking to, would you talk to them that way? Would you, tell them that they messed up? What would you say to them? And then they say the most beautiful, kind words
right.
to their best friend. And I'm like, well, listen,
right.
You're your own best friend. This is how you have to treat yourself. So, your editor was brilliant because
yes.
they were able to release you to be able to write this book in third person and then have that compassion for Laura, be the compassion for yourself. So what a beautiful
right.
way of healing. Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
That's why, because we just tend to be so hard on ourselves. Society and the way we're raised sometimes, I know that I'm still too hard on myself. That
mm-hmm.
I'm doing the 21 Days to Self-Love event that goes on until the end of the year. And I'm taking the course myself, because that's how I do my courses. And one of the days is, are you hard on yourself? Yes, I'm still hard on myself. After all these years of practicing, trying not to be, I'm
right.
still too hard on myself. So this is one of the things that we need to learn, is how not to be so hard on ourselves and how to even acknowledge that we're being hard on ourselves. Because I think that we don't even know it. I think if
right.
we knew it, we would lay off some. Very good. Cutting ourselves a break. That's very important. So as we're winding down, we just have a couple of minutes left on the show. Is there one more thing that you'd like to say, Stephanie, to a listener, whether they be a parent of a special needs child or whether they be someone who's going through something extremely difficult, especially at this time during the holidays? The TV, society, everybody wants to make the holidays so perfect, like the public
mm-hmm.
commercial, everything is
mm-hmm.
so beautiful. What would you want to say to someone who knows what the reality is?
I would say that, here we are talking about how I have succeeded in trudging through my challenges thus far. Who knows what my challenges tomorrow will bring? And I kind of snicker to myself, because I never felt like I was being successful at it. It's a real crawl through the mud when you're facing these dark challenges. And like I said before, if you just focus on the moment and you surround yourself with as many supportive people as you can, and you focus on at least some of your attention on taking care of you, you can keep making that crawl up to the light at the end. And you don't even recognize it as success as you're going along. Sometimes I think that's definitely just a, an afterthought, something that you can look back on and go, oh, yeah, I was successful. Don't necessarily look for the feelings of success right now. They might not be there for you. But just keep moving forward, and it will come. Have faith.
Beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful, Stephanie. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show today. It was such a pleasure having you as a guest. And for our listeners, have a wonderful holiday, and I'll talk to you all next year.
Thank you again.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell Porter.